Srimad Bhagavatam. Today we are really fortunate to have His Grace Keshavanand Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. So before I hand over the call to Prabhuji, I would like to hand over the call to Tukmi Mataji to give a brief introduction.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Bhagavi Mataji, Hare Krishna, dear devotees, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. His Grace, Dr. Keshavanand Prabhuji, was a professional doctor for many years, and he is now a practicing monk. In the last 20 years, he has conducted extensive research and authored books in the field of science and spirituality. He feels the rift between science and spirituality must disappear to bring peace in the world. If spirituality is a superstition and myth, science is materialistic and atheistic. A new approach to life is needed today that can bring the best of both. Science must re-embrace spirituality and be humble to admit its defects, flaws, and ignorance. And spirituality must base itself on sound, scientific, and rational ideas. Keshavanand Prabhuji has studied both Vedic and Western philosophy. Besides learning Sanskrit, he has also learned Bengali, Gujarati, Marathi, and Kannada to know about other traditions. His persistent endeavor in the field of science and spirituality has enabled him to come up with seminars on diverse topics like science in the Vedas, mind and machines, science fails to explain life, consciousness and beyond, etc. That he has presented in various colleges in India, Europe, and America. Under the guidance of the spiritual master, His Holiness Bhaktivikas Swami, he has also started a Gurukul, a traditional system of Vedic education in Punjab, India, where children learn the ancient Vedic culture and values. Besides, he has also started a farm community. The community has a traditional way of living with mud huts and thatched roofs. He has cows, there are cows, and of course, farming. The communities will set a model for the world to show how to live a life based on the simple principle of simple living, high thinking. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you. Thank you so much for that brief introduction. So, we can.
Yeah. Hindu Mataji, can you read?
Yes, Mataji. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 15, Text 9. Gayam Dripaka Pratiyati Karma Bhir Yajvabhimani Bahuvid Dharma Gupta Samagata Shri Sadasa Pati Satam Satsevakonyo Bhagavat Kalamrite. Hare Krishna. Mataji, shall I read the translation? Prabhuji has joined.
Yeah, yeah, continue, Mataji.
Okay, give me a second. Let me just make. Okay. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The great king Gaya used to perform all kinds of Vedic rituals. He was highly intelligent and expert in studying all the Vedic literatures. He maintained the religious principles and possessed all kinds of opulence. He was a leader among gentlemen and a servant of the devotees. He was a totally qualified plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, who could equal him in the performance of gigantic ritualistic ceremonies? We'll also read the next verse. Verse 10, Yam Abhyasinchan Parayap Mudha Shati Sati Satya Sisho Daksha Kanya Sharidhi Yasya Parjanam Duduhe Dharasiso Narashisho Gunavatsa Snutodham. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All the chaste and honest daughters of Maharaja Daksha, such as Shraddha,
Maitri and Daya, whose blessings were always effective, bathed Maharaja Gaya with sanctified waters. Indeed, they were very satisfied with Maharaja Gaya. The planet Earth personified came as a cow, and as though she saw her calf, she delivered milk profusely when she saw all the good qualities of Maharaja Gaya. In other words, Maharaja Gaya was able to derive all benefits from the earth and thus satisfy the desires of his citizens. However, he personally had no desires. But the earth over which Maharaja Gaya ruled is compared to a cow. The good qualities whereby he maintained and ruled the citizens are compared to the calf. A cow delivers milk in the presence of her calf. Similarly, the cow or earth fulfilled the desires of Maharaja Gaya, who was able to utilize all the resources of the earth to benefit his citizens. This was possible because he was bathed in sanctified water by the honest daughters of Daksha. Unless a king or ruler is blessed by authorities, he cannot rule the citizens very satisfactorily. Through the good qualities of the ruler, the citizens become very happy and well qualified. Hare Krishna.
Okay.
Krishna Prabhuji, welcome to the call.
Please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, you can take over Prabhuji now.
Yeah, my voice is clear to all of you?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. ठीक है, that's fine. Finish now. ओम अज्ञानाति मिरंदस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुर उन्मिलितम येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः. नमो विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Paschandesh Dharam. Okay, so we are discussing 5.15.9 and 5.15.10. So these are two verses. Largely these two verses are informational. It's talking about Maharaj Gaya. It seems Maharaj Gaya, Yudhishthir Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj, even Lord Ram, these were great kings, of course, plenary expansions of God, who actually ruled his citizens, their citizens very nicely, and they had set an example how to be a king or a leader. So Sukhdeva Goswami is saying that actually we should glorify Gaya Maharaj by these verses and also learn from him who is a good king or a good leader. What are the qualities of a good leader? And now here I just wanted to point out that a good leader, I mean to say, we all are leaders in one sense or the other. We might not be congregation leaders or temple president as such, but everybody in their life is playing role of a leader. Just like mother is a leader of the house, especially for children when they're young. The father is a leader of the family, and the teacher is a leader of the students. A king is a leader of subjects, and there are many political parties or many other societies and associations where you have a leader. So at every level, there's a leader in company, in corporate sector, CEO or boss, they are the leaders, and they have the sub-leaders or employees. Everybody is playing role of a leader somehow or the other. So that means everybody should learn how to become a leader. How to lead people. lead them where? Lead them towards their good, towards their benefit. That is the job of the leader. The job of the leader is to help people who are with him or who are actually or who are under him to help them to become leaders. First of all, a good leader makes more leaders. That is the sign of a good leader. Just like Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada made so many sannyasis and so many gurus, so many preachers like himself. Prabhupada was a preacher and he made others also preacher, and they started preaching, establishing centers, doing great things and big things. So that's a first-class leader. First-class leader is a leader who generates or creates other leaders. Second-class leader is a leader who leads, but he doesn't create more leaders. And a third-class leader is who is a leader, but he never wants others to become leader. And he is always in the position of a leader and tries to lead, and that's it. That's a third-class leader. So King Gaya, Prithu, Ram, they were all first-class leaders. Lord Ram, he sent his children, Lav Kush, and also he sent Shatrughan, Bharat, Lakshman to various places to actually conquer various places and rule them. It's all mentioned in Ramayana. So that's a good leader. There are so many instructions about how to become a leader, what are the duties of a leader. In all Dharma Shastras, there are many Dharma Shastras. Dharma Shastras are technically called as Smriti. So scriptures are divided into two parts, Shruti and Smriti. Shruti is largely four Vedas, Rig, Sam, Yajur, Atharva, which are to be heard. They are not written down. Even if they are written down, they are passed from generation to generation by hearing. And they are learned by hearing and not by actually reading and writing. That's not the system of Shrutis. Because the Shrutis can be, the meaning of Vedas can only be understood when you speak them. Why? Because Vedic knowledge is encoded in speech. The way you speak, that will deliver a particular type of meaning. If your speaking is wrong, if your tone is high or low, then that will change the meaning of the entire text. So that is why Vedas had to be spoken to be understood. If you read the Vedas which are written, then you will not be able to make out the meaning of the text. So because it was spoken, that means it was heard, and that is why the system is, they are called as Shruti. And this is one part of the scripture. The next part, the next division of scripture is Smriti. Now Smriti means which is remembered. It's not heard. It can be remembered and then meditated upon and then understood. You don't need to really hear them to get its proper meaning. That is Smriti. So Smriti includes various Puranas, historical accounts, just like here in the previous verse, there are so many histories of Puranas which talk about Gaya Maharaj and Ram and Prithu and so on and on. So there are Smritis include Puranas, Itihas like Ramayana Mahabharata. And they also include, so this is one division of Smriti. Another division of Smriti is Dharma Shastras. That is scriptures which talk about religious codes and conducts. Scriptures which talk about religious achar and vyavhar, your personal conduct and social conduct. These are called Dharma Shastras. The most famous Dharma Shastra is Manu Smriti, which Prabhupada quotes often. And then there are so many Smritis. at present we have 32 Smriti Shastras, Dharma Shastras, which are actually available in human society. For example, Vishwamitra Smriti, Ashvalayan Smriti, Gautam Smriti, Vashishta Smriti. So these are many Dharma Shastras which are available. You can read them. You can understand who is a leader. They talk about who is a, these Dharma Shastras talk in details, who is a king, what are the duties of the king, what duties of the leader. It's very, in details it's described. So either you can do that, or you can read Puranas, which I told, which is another division of Smriti Shastras, where there are examples like Gaya Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj, Lord Ram. And you can learn from examples. You can learn how they were leaders, what were their qualities. And those qualities are the qualities of a genuine leader. So just like in MBA courses, if you go to MBA courses, you see in those MBA courses, what happens is they actually teach them who is a leader and their points, point one, two, three, four, five, six. But then they also give examples like Mahatma Gandhi or Nelson Mandela or blah, 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 whatever it is. They actually give them examples, who is a good leader, how these people are following all these qualities which we have just told you. So that's a very easy method, learning by example. So you see Smriti Shastras at all. Smriti Shastras have two divisions. One is Puranas, which are histories or examples. Another is Dharma Shastras, which will tell you in points, just theory. So Dharma Shastras will teach you by theory, and Puranas will teach you by examples. So Bhagavad Purana is a Purana, and it is talking about an example of, so it is talking about Gaya Maharaj, one of the example in Srimad Bhagavatam, who is a leader, who is a natural king, actually, who is a plenary expansion of Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's not an ordinary person. He's a let's say, Shashaktevesh Avatar of Krishna, and he is an appropriate leader. Now, if we hear about him and his qualities, we can also learn, and we can imbibe these qualities in our life, and we can become good leaders. In fact, in Krishna conscious movement, everybody is a leader because everybody is preaching. We're all preaching. That's why Krishna's Mahaprabhu said, Amar aage guru hoye taroye desh kiva vipra kiva nyasi shudr kene hoye jai tatva krishna sveta sahi guru hoye amar aage guru hoye taroye desh. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, well, whoever it is, whatever position you are, just if you know about Krishna, speak to others and become guru. In that, so in a very general sense, he said, you preach. So every preacher is a leader, because when you preach, people will connect to you. They will ask guidance from you. If there can be thousands of people or there can be 10 or 15, it doesn't matter. But even if it is one person who is connected to you and asking for guidance, you're a leader. Because every life counts. It's not just, okay, 10 people are more important than one people. No, even one is important, because that's a person. That's a life. And he's asking guidance. So in that sense, every Krishna conscious devotee is a leader, because you will speak something to your friends or somebody, and at least one person will understand and will ask you some doubts and guidance. So you're a leader. And if that's not the case with you, then at least if you're a female, you're a mother and you're a leader of your children. And if you're a father, you're a leader of a family. So then what do you do? So we should know how to read. So let's talk about Gaya Maharaj. What qualities he have, and we can try to imbibe these qualities and become useful for others. That's the whole point there. A leader is a person who is a servant of others. A leader doesn't think he's a leader. As soon as a leader thinks he's a leader, his leadership is over. Sooner or later, it's over. Because nobody will follow him. People will consider him either egoistic in extreme cases, a tyrant, an oppressor. So his career is finished. A leader should always think he's a servant. That is why there's a term called a servant leader. We are in leading capacity. We are a leader, we are gurus, guides, but we are acting as a servant of others. That has to be understood very clearly. So what are the qualities of Gaya Maharaj? Let's have a look. So it is said, Gaya Mripa ka pratyati karma bhir yajva abhimani bahuvid dharma gopta samagat shri. He had so many qualities, so many opulences. Like, for example, it is said in English, I'll read English well. He was highly intelligent, an expert in studying all. He was highly intelligent, an expert in studying all Vedic literatures. Now, this is very important. Leader should have these two qualities. Now, if you really see these two qualities now here, there are two qualities: highly intelligent and expert in studying all Vedic literatures. So this is it's bahuvid karma bhi. Okay. So now these two qualities are very important. It is the point is a leader should be. Yeah, I think you can show translation. You'll not be able to get from word to word. It's difficult. Yeah. So it is. So leaders should be intelligent, first of all. A foolish man cannot become a leader. He by highly intelligent, what Prabhupada is saying is, what that means is a leader should be capable to think various consequences. A leader should be capable to think what are the various ramifications and various aspects of that problem. I mean to say, what can happen in future if we do this, that kind of things. Forevision. Highly intelligent means a leader should have forevision. What will be the consequences? How we shall avoid those consequences? What will be the drawbacks? How we will fulfill those drawbacks? Or what will be the benefits and how we'll use the benefits for future cause? So forevision has to be there. That's very important. That means that is the point of highly intelligent. And when leader is having forevision, we should also have immediate vision, what we should do now. So it is said in MBA, I think it is said in MBA, it's a famous saying, think globally, act locally. That's a leader. Like Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada had great plans. Prabhupada, when he was in Vrindavan, even before going to America, Prabhupada said to Opi Sanyal, you see, Opi Sanyal, one of his godbrothers, Prabhupada said, I have so many temples all around the world. I have magazines which is distributed in many countries. And there are many people just taking to Krishna consciousness. And this is Prabhupada saying before he went to America. He's saying to his godbrother, Opi Sanyal. And then he said to Opi Sanyal that, When I'll become successful, then I will tell you the formula of success. And Prabhupada went to America. He did this. It actually became a reality. He had a forevision and he did that. And when he came back to India, he told Opi Sanyal, now I will tell you the formula of my success. Opi Sanyal said, yes. And Prabhupada said, my formula is success is Trinadapi Suni Chena Tarodeva Saishmanam Amaninaman Dena Kirtanya Sada. This is how it was. I was hearing the memories of Srila Prabhupada and one of the Prabhupada disciples. They were saying, when Prabhupada was in Second Avenue, New York, Srila Prabhupada, in that store, Matchless Gift, they were like devotees, just new hippies were there, and they were. They were standing for taking bath. There was just one bathroom. And the first devotee, hippie, second hippie, third hippie, fourth hippie. So standing in a waiting line. And the fifth one was Srila Prabhupada with his gamsha standing there. They didn't understand who is a guru initial days. And they thought he's an old man trying to teach us spirituality. They didn't. Prabhupada was Srinatha Pisuni Chena, he was humble enough. So, what I was telling Prabhupada had four vision, highly intelligent. That's the point. So a leader should be highly intelligent. The highly intelligent means he should have four vision and immediate vision. What you have to do, what you have to do in future, what are the consequences? And this means highly intelligent. Highly intelligent means this is one of the quality of Krishna in Krishna book. These are all qualities of Krishna, by the way, because Krishna is a natural leader. Krishna, this is one of the names of Krishna in Vishnu Sahasranam. In Vedas, the first sukta of Rig Veda, which is by the way the first Veda, the first sukta. Sukta means the first glorification prayer is to Agnidev. Rig Veda, the first is Agni Sukta. Why? Because Agni in Sanskrit, in English, Agni means leader. Leader should be like fire. Fire, why? Because when you light fire in the dark, you can see everything. So leader provides light. Leader shows the way, the vision. Leader sets the vision. He shows the way. And he tells you how to walk on the way. Of course, you have to walk, but he tells all these things. So that's a leader. Prabhupada was a natural leader. Krishna is a leader. So one of the qualities of Krishna is he's highly intelligent. Another meaning of highly intelligent is when Rupa Goswami explains the qualities of Krishna. And I think, Gaya Maharaj would have been like that. He was a devotee. Is Daksha. He's expert. He's expert in doing multitasking. Krishna fulfills many goals by one action. That is also the meaning of highly intelligent. Fulfilling one goal, fulfilling many goals through one action. That's the meaning of highly intelligent. So leader should be like that. You should do one action. We should do one action and fulfill many goals. It's not that one action, one goal. That's not a good leader. He can simultaneously do many things and handle many things. So leaders should have a capability to take stress and to think broadly so that he can do many things at one time. Because it saves time, that's all. So that's that. Gaya, King Gaya, he was like that. Of course, a king should be like that. As a king, there are so many things, management, politics, economics, social things, there's so many things, his family, he has to do multitasking, otherwise he'll go mad. Krishna is a leader. Krishna has to do so many things. He has to give pleasure to his devotees, he has to kill demons, he might have to do politics, just like in Mahabharata he was doing, to actually set things right. He also has to dance with Srimati Radharani, impress gopis. So he has to do so many things at one time. When he lifted Govardhan Hill, for 7 days, he did multitasking. By lifting Govardhan Hill, he actually broke the pride of Indra. This is one goal he accomplished. Second goal he accomplished is he gave pleasure to all his devotees, because all his devotees for 7 days continuously they were having darshan of Krishna uninterruptedly day and night. He also impressed gopis by lifting Govardhan Hill. He also showed to Vrajvasis, to Nand Baba, that devotees like Govardhan, Govardhan is the best of devotees, because it is sacrificing his life to actually save other devotees. That's devotion. Devotion is all about sacrificing your life to serve other devotees. So he showed this through Govardhan. So there were so many things, multitasking he was doing by just actually doing one pastime. And Prabhupada also says, by lifting Govardhan, Krishna showed that he's God, because he's not an ordinary boy. He's God. He's lifting mountain with his little finger of left hand. He's not a yogi, because nobody can do this. Only God can do this. So he was fulfilling so many goals by just one action. This is called highly intelligent. That's Krishna, and his devotees are like that. So, and then Prabhupada says, highly intelligent and then expert in studying all the Vedic literatures. That's the second quality of a leader, which Prabhupada says, expert in studying all the Vedic literatures, which is actually called a Shastra Nipun. This is called a Shastra Nipun. The point is, a leader, generally what happens is a leader, as a leader, people don't read much because they don't have time, simply because they don't have time. They have so many agendas in their notebook, and they have to meet so many people and solve their problems, listen to them, spend time in listening to them, helping them. So many times a leader or a preacher, they don't have time to read books, and that's a problem. So they don't become expert in studying scriptures. To become expert in studying scriptures means you should be able to handle contradictions in scriptures, and you should be able to harmonize contradictions in scriptures. That is Shastra Nipun. That means when you read scriptures, there might be so many confusions. There will be so many confusions, in fact. And there will be so many contradictions. Scriptures might tell you, okay, household life is a very good life. You can serve Vaishnavas. Grihastha ashram is the topmost ashram because it maintains other ashramas. And the other end, scriptures might tell you, well, Grihastha ashram is a bondage. It's a blind well. So it's a clear contradiction. How to solve this? You need to become expert in scriptures. How to harmonize all these things? So that means Shastra Nipun. A leader should know scriptures nicely. Otherwise, people will lose faith in him. Or people will say, well, because a leader has to manage. So people will say, people will actually become disgusted with your management. Because people will say, well, he's only managing us. He's trying to become boss. And because you're not giving knowledge to them, you're simply engaging them in various services, ordering them, nobody will listen to you. Such leaders who are not well-versed in philosophy, people lose faith in them. And then there is fight, there is management goes out of control. So every preacher, every leader, every manager, every president, every congregation leader should make it a point to read and become expert in scriptures. Otherwise, after some time, people who are under you, they are reading books. You're making them read books. So they will read books and they will come at the same level as you are. And then you're speaking the same things in your lecture. And then one point they'll become bored and they'll say, we don't want to follow him. That's all. And then they will say he's doing politics. He's trying to oppress us and this and that, because they are not elevating. If you don't elevate, then they will not elevate. So it is said in Shandila Smriti that one of the main tasks of a leader is to elevate himself. Otherwise, people will lose faith in him once they come at the same level as he is. So it's a big, big, big responsibility. People think leader means to manage people. Well, that's wrong, of course. Leader means to manage for people, not manage people. It's not manipulating people. It's managing for them. But leader also means to actually manage yourself. If you can't manage yourself, how can you manage others? If you can't make yourself advance enough then you will not be able to help others to advance, because you can only bring people to the level you are. So that is why you see leaders who don't continuously update their knowledge and read scriptures. What happens is, after some time, people leave him or her, and they become frustrated because they want to advance, they want to learn more, but this person who has actually helped them, but now they can't learn any more from him, so they become frustrated, and then there's politics and this and that and that. So yeah, Gaya Maharaj, he was highly intelligent in scriptures. He was, by the way, Raj Rishi. A leader should be king and a philosopher. That's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. A leader should not be just a king or just a philosopher. He should be a king philosopher. As even Plato said, right? Like a king philosopher. Krishna says Raj Rishi, king philosopher. That's the whole point. Because as a king, he will do justice. He will rule. And because he's a philosopher, he will rule through the help of scriptures. He will rule according to the guidance of God, because scriptures means God's instructions. So then he'll become a good leader. Otherwise, he'll become monarch, a tyrant, and people will hate him or her. So that's, he was highly intelligent and expert in studying all Vedic literatures. He maintained religious principles. That's also very important. The word here used is, I think, what's the word they are using? Maintaining religious. Anyway, I think Srila Prabhupada is giving a Bhavachak commentary. So, yeah, the maintained religious principles mean Dharma Gupta. He's actually Dharma Gupta. This is their Bahuvit. Bahuvit means expert in studying, expert in conclusion of scriptures. What meaning can you show? Bahuvit, fully aware of conclusion of Vedic scriptures. Dharma Gupta, protector of occupational duties for everyone. That means in the translation, Prabhupada writes, he maintained the religious principles. Dharma Gupta. Dharma means religious principles. Gupta means protector or maintainer. That is a good leader. Dharma Gupta. Leader is a protector of religion. It is said in religion itself. Dharma. Dharma rakshati rakshita. Anybody who protects religion, religion will protect him. That's a deal. So leader knows. A leader protects and serves dharma, and through the power of that dharma, automatically management happens. That's a good management. A bad management is you try to protect the system, you try to manage people and run the show. That's a bad management. But a good management is you try to protect laws and dharma, and automatically dharma protects people. That's how it goes. So that is why it is said Dharma Raj Yudhishthir. You see, Dharma Raj Yudhishthir. So any leader who stands by his principles, in modern language you can say like that, any leader who stands by his principles, or by actually principles of scriptures, Dharma Gupta, who stands by it and who doesn't deviate from it, people, he earns a lot of respect and faith from people, because he's a man of principles. And to such a people, people want to follow such a people. People don't want to follow, it is said in scriptures, people don't want to follow a leader who is confused in his mind, because people don't feel secure under such a leader who is changing decisions, who is confused in mind, who is saying, by the way, no. A leader stands by the principles of scripture. Scripture says this, and Krishna says this, so we should do this. That's all. No matter how much difficult it is, but when scriptures speak this, we should try to do it. and then that dharma protects you afterwards, because you earn faith of people that this person is not trying to do anything through his mind. He's following the codes, he's following the laws of God, and he's a man of principles. So this kind of leader earns a lot of faith, and people don't blame the leader that he's trying to become bossy or what, because people know that this leader is a servant of dharma. He's ruling through dharma. He's not ruling himself. So just like Bharat Maharaj, when Ram went to forest, Bharat Maharaj said to Ram, "You give me your slippers, sandals. Give me your sandals, and I will keep your sandals on the throne. I will not sit on the throne, and I will rule on your behalf." So a good leader or a king, King Gaya, he was leading people on the behalf of dharma. That was the point. He's a servant. A good leader is a servant of dharma. Or let me put it like that, modern language. We are servant of the message of God. And then we have to give the message as it is to next generation. The moment we tweak in the message due to practical concerns, that moment we have fallen down. You are no longer a leader. Sooner or later, people will lose faith in you. So that he maintained religious principles. He possessed all kind of opulences. The word used is Samagata Shri. He possessed all kind of opulences. And that means he had all good qualities, what Krishna has. That's what also Srimad Bhagavatam says. Sarvai gunai satra sama sateshura harava bhaktasya kuto mahatmana. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana. That's the verse, fifth canto. Anybody who has complete faith and pure devotion in Krishna, in him manifests all the good qualities of demigods. Sama sate suraha. And anybody who is not a devotee of Krishna, how can he have any good qualities? Even if he has some good qualities on surface, that will also vanish, and slowly he will glide into evil and bad stuff. That's what is going to happen with him or her. So he's a devotee. So he's having all good qualities, King Gaya, of Krishna. Actually, in fact, if you are actually the symptom of advancement in devotion, is that person will develop all good qualities. That's a symptom of advancement in devotion. Why? Because he's thinking of Krishna. His role model is Krishna. His ideal is Krishna. So he becomes like Krishna. That actually, he doesn't become Krishna, but he becomes like Krishna. That's a philosophy. We are qualitatively one with God. And that's what Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, Puta Mad Bhavam Agataha. Prabhupada says, Vahva Jnana Tapsa Puta Mad Bhavam Agata. There are many people who practiced my message of Bhagavad Gita, and they perfected their lives and became pure Puta and Mad Bhavam Agata. And Prabhupada translates, they attained to my nature. They became like Krishna. They developed all good qualities of Krishna. So that's natural. I mean to say, if you're thinking of Hitler, you will become like Hitler. You try to, you will unconsciously act like him, speak like him. So just like when we were kids, we were watching Amitabh Bachchan, and he was a hero, an ideal. So every kid used to somehow or the other behave like Amitabh Bachchan. That's what was happening at that time. So if your ideal is Krishna, you're thinking of him, you'll develop his good qualities automatically. So Gaya, he was not just devotee of Krishna, he was Shakta Veshapta. So what to talk of him. And that's why it is said, therefore, who could equal him in performance of gigantic ritualistic ceremonies? He was doing big ritualistic ceremonies. Now, he was not a Karmkandi that he was doing. he was doing big yagyas and spending a lot of money unnecessarily. Actually, these hair ritualistic ceremonies in those days when these kings, Prithu and even Bharat Maharaj and King Gaya, even Ram, they were performing ritualistic ceremonies with proper brahmanas and proper attitude and mood actually to satisfy Krishna. They understood what's the purpose of ritualistic ceremonies. It was not Ved, Vadrata, Partha, Nadasthiti, Vadena. It was not just flowery language, and it was not like that. They understood what are these rituals meant for. Rituals are meant for satisfying Vishnu, and with that understanding, they were performing these gigantic ritualistic ceremonies. In other words, King Gaya, he was serving God with a lot of opulence and a lot of pompous and a lot of so many brahmanas and yagyas. And he was understanding, and all brahmanas were actually praising God with so many suktas and prayers of Vedas in those yagyas. It was actually kirtanam. It was for them, ritualistic ceremonies was mass sankirtan. Because these were devotee kings. They might be also having a lot of kirtans in those yagyas, even in South India now, even today in South India, where there are yagyas, they call us. We used to go as ISKCON devotees, they used to call us, you please do kirtans. So we were doing kirtans, they were chanting of Vedas, and we could understand Purusha Shukta, and they were also praising Krishna, Vishnu by chanting Vedas. We were doing kirtans at one place, they were chanting of Vedas, they were chanting of also Sanskrit, some Purana, section of Puranas or Bhagavatam at one place. So at many places there were so many happenings going on. One place Prasadam was being distributed. So it was a big festival to actually celebrate the glories of God. That's what here is meant. Performing gigantic spiritual ceremonies, ritualistic ceremonies. It's not karmakanda ceremonies, dull ceremonies with no understanding, demigods. It was not like that. Even today, you go to Udupi, where I lived, and this Madhva Sampradaya, they do big ritualistic ceremonies, and it's all in Vaishnav style. I mean to say, you have to see it to know it. That's the idea. Because we have this kind of, a bias in our mind, or just kind of a rigid thought in our mind, the ritualistic ceremonies, oh, this is all nonsense. It's all karmakanda. No, that's not what they were doing. Because in Bhagavatam it comes, when Bharat Maharaj was doing ritualistic ceremonies, it is explained, the brahmanas were chanting to suktas, Indra Sukta, Varun Sukta, Vayu Sukta, and Bharat Maharaj in his mind, he was understanding, and even brahmanas understood that they were actually praising Vishnu through praising these demigods as limbs of Vishnu. So, this was all Sankirtan Yajna, by the way. It externally, it appeared like ritualistic ceremonies because there were rituals happening, but internally, it was Sankirtan Yajna because they were praising Lord Vishnu. So, it is said, who could equal him in performance of gigantic spiritual ceremonies? He, as a king, inundated the entire earth with Sankirtan movement. He did that. He was a devotee. But, of course, in the form of ritualistic ceremonies, that we have to understand, in the form of yagyas, that's what he was doing. So that's this verse all about a leader, 19:9, and I think I'll stop here. The next verse is talking about how Maharaj Gaya, he had all good qualities, and Mother Earth, because he was a good leader, he was a good king, Mother Earth wanted to serve him, and she gave all the food, opulences, pearls, gold, and also medicinal herbs. She produced everything in good amount and good quality. Fruits with good tastes, medicines or herbs with good medicinal qualities, diamonds and pearls and shells and everything Earth gave freely, because Gaya was a good leader. And Prabhupada says, if you have a good leader in the country, Mother Earth will provide. If the leader is bad, there'll be famines, earthquakes, tsunamis. It all depends on the leader, how he's ruling. Because if his ruling is not good, then the subjects become sinful. And more the sins, more the calamities. That's how we understand the laws of karma. So, and it is said in the second verse, he had, Maharaj Gaya was able to derive all benefits from the earth, the satisfied desires of his citizens. However, he had personally, he had no desires. This is a leader. He had no desires. Bhagavat Kalam Rite. What's this? I think next you have to go. Maharaj Gaya was able to derive all benefits from the earth and thus satisfy the desires of his citizens. However, he personally had no desire. This is a leader. This verse, this is a very good line, because Prabhupada finishes this verse with this line. He had no desires. He fulfilled the desires of his citizens, just like parents fulfill the desire of their children. But parents just keep on fulfilling the desire of children, and they keep on working hard, at least in India. And children enjoy, and they enjoy in the enjoyment of their children. Even if they're working hard day and night, that's a satisfaction. So a good leader, satisfaction of a good leader comes when his subjects are satisfied. Not that he's satisfied. So this is why, because he personally, a leader, good leader, has no desire. He's already satisfied. And so that's a leader. He is in a leading capacity. A leader can actually do anything. I mean, he can use people for his fulfilling his own desires. He can do anything. He can earn money. He can exploit them. But Maharaj Gaya, this is one of the another good, very important symptom of a leader. Absolute satisfaction and no desires. That is why if you read any scripture, the first training of a leader is this. To control his mind and to control his desires. This is the last line in this two verses of qualities of Maharaj Gaya. But this is the first training which is given to a leader. A leader who cannot control his mind, he cannot control the subjects. A leader who has personal desires, he will be hated by his subjects. A leader who has no personal desire, he will become affectionate to his subjects. That's how it goes. And Maharaj Gaya was like that. It's a big responsibility, by the way, becoming a leader, becoming a congregation leader or preacher. It's a big responsibility which we have to learn and to lead people. And it's a big thing to lead them out of birth and death. It's not just giving lectures and doing some kirtan and managing people. It's not like that. It's leading them out of birth and death. And for that, you have to yourself first, advance your own soul and control your mind. Otherwise, how will you help others? So that's what by reading, that's what Maharaj Gaya is teaching us by setting an example of a king and a leader. We glorify him and we pray to Krishna that we can become 0.001% like him, so that we will be able to help others and fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, becoming a guru. Amar age hoye guru hai desh, taro hai desh. That's the idea. Okay, Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki. I'll end up here.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for the very, very beautiful class and the very important concept of leadership. And we like the point that how you brought out that we are always a servant leader. Wherever the leader is, even in the material platform also, if this concept is, this consciousness is carried, that is where that leader is actually doing his role properly. Thank you for a very beautiful class. Okay. I request devotees, if you have any questions or realization, please go ahead now.
Hare Krishna, Keshavanam Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Such an amazing class. I wish I could send this class to all leaders of the world. I just have two questions. The first one is, you mentioned that Rig and Saman Yajurveda was Shruti. What is Atharva? Is it considered Shruti as well? Or?
No, I told there is scriptures are divided into two, Shruti and Smriti.
Mm-hmm.
So four Vedas are Shruti. And Smriti is divided into, again, two parts. Mm-hmm. One is Puranas and Ramayana Mahabharat. And the other section is Dharma Shastras.
Shastras. Okay, yes. Okay, and then my other question is about King Gaia. Do we think that this is where the Greeks got the name for the goddess of the earth, Gaia? Do you think that's...
I think it's
interesting that he was blessed by Mother Bhumi. I don't know,
maybe some connection, some research is required here. I think so. Let's some research can be done. I would like to look at it.
Yes, me too. I thought that was an interesting connection. Okay, well, thank you again, Prabhu, for such a wonderful class. It was incredible. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Guru Maharaj. Prabhuji, when you mentioned that, you know, the leader should be, the preacher should be well read. So I have a doubt there. Do we read, like go deeper, like for our movement, it is Srila Prabhupada's books primarily. So do we go deeper into the book by reading it again and again and again? Because other people whom, as you said, that we might be leading or preaching, they are also reading the same book. We are also reading the, or you are mentioning the varieties of the books. I mean, other books too. The reason why I'm asking, because if I remember it correctly, Nectar of Devotion mentions that one should not read too much of scriptures. So these things always confuse me a little bit.
One should not read too much scriptures. That means one should not read non-devotional scriptures. That's the idea there. Non-devotional scriptures means Nyaya, Vaisheka, Sankhya, Yoga, and all these things. But you can read Gaudiya Vaishnava scriptures. That's why they are written. Or too much of scriptures means you're also reading Madhva, Ramanuja, Vallabh Sampradaya. You can read if you can, but Gaudiya Vaishnava scriptures are the minimum. So you read Prabhupada books first again and again as a leader. Try to go deeper in that, as you said. They're also reading, but you're reading, but there's a difference when we read. When you advance, you go deeper in that. And then you can read other Gaudiya Vaishnava scriptures or various acharyas, because that's why they have written books for us to read. And Prabhupada says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, one should read the books of previous acharyas, but of course, after reading Prabhupada books. That's the most important point. And we have to read, because after reading Prabhupada books, we'll be looking up to those Gaudiya Vaishnava scriptures through the eyes of Srila Prabhupada. And that's very important, because if we try to study those books of acharyas through our own eyes, then we'll become super confused and super offensive. Wow, maybe it can happen. So that is why that's a system. But so it's both. The answer is both. Go deeper in Prabhupada books and then read other Gaudiya Vaishnava acharyas books. And what Rupa Goswami is, that's not applicable here.
Okay, Prabhuji. So another thing that I was just thinking, when you said that whom you are helping, the people who are following you, if they learn as much as you do, they will go, you know, they will think, they leave and go. So I was just thinking from spiritual point of view, isn't it okay if they want to grow more and maybe intellectually I'm not smart enough anymore for them to, you know, make them advance. So will it not be a mundane competition or leadership mentality? I mean, they are mine and why should I, you know, let them go off? So isn't it that, or this is something else that you're mentioning, Prabhuji?
Yeah. If you want them to help them to reach perfection, then you have to advance yourself. But if we can't And if they know more than you, then you allow them to go somewhere else and learn more. That's all. But that doesn't happen. What happens is the leader becomes possessive. He doesn't allow them to go. He doesn't learn. They want to learn more. And then he says, you're offensive. You're trying to leave me. This, that, that, that. And so that should not happen, but it happens like that in 99.9% cases. But what's the point? I mean, to say, if you're trying to lead people, then try to advance yourself. Otherwise, what's the point of doing devotion first in the first place? Then we do our own stuff and don't lead people then. If we can't advance, then there's a problem there. People get disappointed after some time. They lose faith. Let's see, I had faith in this leader and he's not helping me. He's not helping me to advance. Many people then leave devotion. They get hurt. There's so many things. So it's very important. Leader should advance. Otherwise, in the end, he will end up disappointing others. And people lose faith, they get hurt, they become offensive and things go wrong. That is one of the duty of leader, is to actually learn and advance. Otherwise, don't take leadership, that's all. That's how it should be.
Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji. Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Dhanavad Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Dhanavad Pranam, Keshavanand Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu, for some leadership sutras. One thing I made note was servant of message of God. So the leader should be servant of message of God. Thank you, Prabhu. One question I had, Prabhu, here. King Gaya is a Kshatriya. One thing I don't see is that he is taking guidance from Brahmanas, right, Prabhu? So for a Kshatriya to take guidance,
I don't know. It might be there in other words. There are still verses left, you know.
Okay.
So it might be there. I don't know.
But say sometimes if it is, you know, because of time or because of, you know, short descriptions, right, Prabhu? If it some qualities may be missed also.
No, it's there. So it's there in text 11. You read text 11 afterwards.
Okay.
I mean, it's there. Prabhupada mentioned the Prabhupada. It's there.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. What's happening, Mataji? Yes, Lalitangi Mataji, yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept our respectful obeisances. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your wonderful association. So it's so nice, like the point is how we have to elevate ourselves, and you said how we have to read and constantly update. So, I mean, how to, we have reading groups and we are reading with groups and all, but still I feel that a personal meditative reading, you know, that's what is that's more like cleansing the heart. I can feel.
Yeah,
so.
You're right. Absolutely. In the West, especially in the West, in America, you know, they are reading groups. In India, there's not much, but in West, they are reading groups and chapter a day, verse per day, whatever. But you're right. I mean, so that doesn't help a preacher much, because that is like you're reading with people. Personal reading and a reading of actually reading those portions which actually nourish yourself. So it's different for different people, because different people are at different platforms. But when this reading platform is there, we just tend to read in a systematic form. And for people who are listening, for new people, it's generally like that. Or maybe devotees are reading, but in that reading, meditation doesn't happen. I think that's the point you're coming to. You read, you listen. But for personal reading, we have to choose those sections of scriptures which actually nourish us, help us to go forward, and then meditate on that. And you're absolutely right. And because I've told once to a reading group, your reading, it's nice, but you have to personally also, a leader especially, has to read and spend some time And then he might have to read other books also to have a advanced understanding. Otherwise, people don't advance. Yeah, you pinpointed it correctly.
Yeah, the point is, Prabhuji, how to do it regular. I mean, every day. That gets to the last of the priorities when so many things are there to do. Okay, yeah. Reading group, read, but then that's. I mean, at least for me, that's inconsistent. That meditative reading is, and I feel that. I'm not elevating. So if you can share what you do.
That's actually true, because that's, you see what is happening with you, it's happening with all of us. That's the whole point, you know. After some time, you have so many people connected, you're talking, and then you're speaking, and then your own things go down slowly. And that's a trap which people fall into when we go ahead in spiritual life, and we have to avoid it. So what to do? What I do is personally, sometimes, of course, you can't do anything because you are caught up in so many things. Sometimes it's unavoidable, you know, this thing, that thing, that thing, that thing. But what I generally do is I definitely make it a point, at least 15 minutes, if not 1 hour, or maybe half an hour, I give to myself, especially early in the morning, what I do. Because whole day you're caught up, you know, somebody's calling, somebody's mailing, somebody this. So in the morning when I get up before Mangal Aarti, I read. I don't chant. Generally, people get up and chant, isn't it? Like before Mangal Aarti, I don't do that. I read, because that's the time when everybody's sleeping. Nobody will call, no emails, nothing. So half an hour you read, and then whole day you are able to meditate on that point. So that's the first thing you have read. So no matter what we are doing, we will relish that. And specifically, I make it a point to read something about Krishna and something about philosophy of Krishna. It's not like just, you see, for us preachers, you know, whole day we are talking about philosophy. It's not that we are reading groups and this and that. So we have to read something which really nourishes our soul, because that part is taken care of. So what I do is I generally read some pastime of Krishna from 10th canto, or maybe from some Acharya's books, something, maybe Gopal Champu, Anandaman Champu, something about Krishna and philosophy, integrated with philosophical understanding, so that mind becomes happy and absorbed in that. So it is different for different people. You have to see what absorbs your mind. It's different. For me, it is pastimes plus philosophy. For me, it's like that, because what I think is philosophy is a language of love and I like to decode. For you, it might be different. For you, it might be more of pastimes or something, maybe something like that, or more of philosophy. It's just...
Prabhu, you muted.
Somebody needs 4 chapatis, somebody else needs 5 chapatis, whatever. So that's a very good technique early in the morning. Get up, read in your bed. That's what I do. I don't get up from the bed. Once you're out of bed, things start. At least for all of us, you know, you're also a preacher and I'm also. You're all sucked up in some. So I sit in the bed, I read and meditate and try to relish. Actually, not meditate, but relish it more. So then it helps a lot, just for half an hour, not much is required. And whenever I get time, I mean to say, you see the point, whenever I feel I'm going down, we can all know, you know, our mental state, it's like pulling down. So I just shut off everything. I just stop everything. No matter if things go to hell, you know, it doesn't matter. If we go down, everything goes down. That's the whole point. You know, if the captain goes down, the ship is lost. So I just take a break. I just close my phone. I don't have a phone, by the way. So I don't meet people. I just shut WhatsApp, everything. I just sit and read for 1 hour. Just an ICU type, you know, intensive. We can do that. I don't want to talk. That's all. After 1 hour, I'll talk. No problem. Things don't get bombarded, they don't get destroyed. If we sleep for 2 hours, still, you know, bird keeps on going, you know, nothing happens. So I just imagine I have slept for 1 hour and I don't talk and I read and read and read. And when I feel good, then I come back again. That's how. So that's how I do. So it keeps on going like that. And that's very important. I mean, the leader should also know how to shut down things. We know how to move things, but very few people know how to shut down. Because they keep on, as a leader, it's an autopilot, you know, you're an autopilot. Things keep on happening and they never end, first of all. Nothing ends. We think we'll finish and then, no, then doesn't come. It keeps on going, going, going. And then you are sucked up. So that shut down things. Stop it. That very few people can do. And that's why many leaders, they get frustrated. They fall down. They get, you know, it's all complex things. You know, these things happen. So just close it. We should understand things will never end. They will keep on continuing. And if we don't stop, we will end. So that's a very bad policy. So I just, you see, whenever I feel stressed out, I just tell everybody I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk. Please give me time. I don't want to answer anything. I don't want to attend calls. If anybody comes to meet me, I tell, please wait. And 1 hour I take and read. And I'm charged again. And then you can continue. That's all. It's a very important point. I've seen very few leaders who can shut down things and say, no, I don't want to do this now. Please help. Please, it's a request. So we will understand. So these two things I do and then it keeps on going. That's all.
Thank you so much.
I think it makes sense.
Yeah, very much. Many, many times, like, you know, you've shared these things on question and answers and helped a lot, really helped a lot. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Practically for ourselves, your association is always helping. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Okay, Prabhuji, do you have time, Prabhuji? Can I ask you another question, Prabhu?
Who is it?
Anuradha Devi Das.
Oh, actually, yeah. Okay, last question because...
Okay. If you don't have time, you don't have to, Prabhu, but I'll anyway ask, maybe next time you can answer. The thing is, like, you know, when as you have brought the topic, in the early in the morning, people usually chant. So I have watched one of your video or heard one of your video where you have insisted so elaborately on Mangal Arati and giving all the evidences from Prabhupada's. So often... we hear and we also realize that Brahma Murta chanting is so wonderful as compared, talking for myself, throughout the day comparatively, Brahma Murta chanting is definitely something much more better than comparative. So, yeah, but then
it's up to you. I don't know. That's my policy because we are in a position of a leadership and there's so many things going around. If you're not in that position and if you're in home, then you can chant and read later. No problems.
No, my question was, Prabhu, you see, we attend Mangal Arati, like I attend Mangal Arati in the temple whenever I can. So it takes, like, if I go at from 4:30, it takes almost 5:30. And then there is barely any time to chant. So I have to chant later. So this is my always confusion dilemma that whether I attend Mangal Arati or I do chanting, because either one is going to happen. I mean, if I say 16 rounds, completing 16 rounds. So what how do this? We decide?
You have to do Mangal Arati. Why you can't do Mangal Arati?
So then our chanting has to be postponed for some, at least not all of it, but then some of it will be postponed for the later time. Is that okay, Prabhu?
Yeah, but you can do short Mangal Arati.
Temple, they don't do short Mangal Arati. They do the elaborate, Prabhu.
No, you can do. Day. You can go and attend Samsara Dhava and come back.
Oh, is that okay?
Yeah, no problem if you have... Your life is like that. If your schedule is like that, different people have different personal lives, personal problems, and that's okay. Just go, attend Samsara Dhava, come back. That's all. Finish. That's okay. Fine.
Yeah, that's the solution. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Dhanraj.
Okay, Mataji, we'll end up here.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, there's another question in the chat. Do you have time? From Lalita Mataji.
What's that question? I'm sorry. What's that question?
She put the question in before and I just didn't want to let you go without it.
What's that?
Her question is, she says, Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much for the devotional instructions. How should leaders deal with devotees and friends of Krishna who are afflicted by mental disease but want to do service? This is primarily a symptom of Kali Yuga. Thank you, your servant, Lalita Devi Dasi.
Who are affected with mental disease? Okay.
Mm-hmm. She says like bipolar.
Oh, yeah, I can understand. That's the most common thing, bipolar.
These days, yes.
That's the point. Okay, so how do you, I have handled such cases because there's so many cases nowadays of bipolar. Everybody's some or the other bipolar, I think. But how do you handle them? We can engage them in service, but not in a responsible service. We can engage them in small services. And of course, if we can help them, if we can counsel them, if you can counsel them or help them get a counsel, psychological counsel. But the whole point is try to encourage them. Don't discourage them because they have a problem and this. Everybody has a problem, some point or the other. So try to encourage them and don't give any service which is stressful. That's very important. Don't give any service which is having a lot of responsibility and a lot of stress. Give them some light services so that they feel engaged. Let them chant. And these kind of people, if they can't get up for Mangal Aarti, no problem. Because generally, people with these mental problems, their problems aggravate when they get up early in the morning and then they don't take rest in the daytime. So because of lack of rest, mental problems are triggered. So for them, it's an exemption. Just take rest. Don't attend Mangal Aarti. No problem. Get up in the morning properly. Take rest in the night early. And then lead your life. So these are some practical tips. I think they can solve the problem to a large extent. That's how ideally. And it has helped devotees. You have to change some rules there. Let them not attend Mangal Aarti. Let them take rest. Don't give them responsible or stressful services and encourage them. That's all. And of course, psychological counsel and medicines are always there if required. That's
Hare
it.
Krishna. Such a beautiful answer, Prabhu. Thank you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Okay, Jai.
Prabhuji, for the very, very beautiful class and so many tips that you have shared. Thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhu. We look forward for your continued instructions on this subject matter. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for a wonderful class. Thank you.